Yeah, because Paul is going to stay with us because we're going to chat now about a fascinating story from during the week when former Irish rugby coach Mike McGurn said that top GAA players are overtrained in his opinion, and he's been involved with some top GAA teams. He's coached at the highest level in a range of sports. He worked with the All Blacks at one stage. He worked in the Premier Division with Everton, and he feels that it's gone to a ridiculous level in GAA, and he makes the point that I wouldn't go back into GAA for love nor money because I don't want to be a hypocrite. In my eyes, they're doing too much training, he says, and a lot of it is unnecessary. The mentality is, if you do 5 days, that's good, but if you do six, it's better. But it's not. I worked with the All Blacks in 2008, and a lot of senior county football teams are doing more training than the All Blacks. That's not an exaggeration. That's the reality. A lot of county teams are doing training that has no relevance to Gaelic football whatsoever. One of the fundamentals that we look at, kick, catch, put the ball over the bar and tackle. It doesn't take much more than that, but yet they're doing things that have no relevance to that. But it ticks the boxes, and I don't agree with it, he says. So Paula Fitzpatrick is staying with us, not just as a former Irish rugby international, but she's a lecturer in sports science and strength conditioning at IT Carlow. So obviously she's looks at this subject all the time. But we're also joined by Offaly football manager John Mohan and Tipperary hurler Shane McGrath. Lads, you're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. So can I get an initial reaction to you both? John, you're involved with a group of lads who are mad keen to do as well as they can in Leinster and the league. How do you feel about Mike McGurn's comments?
Good afternoon, Des, and to the panel, Shane and Paula there. That popped into my phone the other morning, and I read it with interest. Obviously, coming from Mike McGurn, a guy who's highly recognised and respected in all sports and has been involved in Gaelic football. So certainly I did take notice, and I read it with interest. And it's not the first article I've read from Mike, because I know last year when we were returning to train after the first lockdown, he was predicting a raft of injuries if we didn't get a certain level of progressive training in games to use as competitive preparation for the return to play. Look, I started off my, coaching managing career over 30 years ago down at Clare, and I suppose the template at the time was from a certain team in Munster. They established arguably the greatest team in Gaelic football.
Kerry.
And they were reared on, Kerry, yeah. They were reared on a punishing diet of lap running, which was quite severe at the time. We all heard the stories. But it's probably served a better purpose than today's modern game. I adapted that kind of approach myself, and the Clare boys that I was involved in 1990-94 would testify to that. They still mention it any time I meet them. But the thing has changed. And see Paula on the panel there will testify to that, because we've got a plethora of, sports science involved in Gaelic sport, football. And I know they put the reins on me, and there are times when I'm up in Kilcormac training the Offaly boys, I would rather punish them a little bit harder. But because they're wearing GPS tracking units, and they're, we've got all sorts of trackers involved in return to train protocols, that kind of put the reins on what we're doing. And but look at when you then look at the higher incidence of groin, ankle and knee injuries, and there's a huge incidence of injury requiring surgery each year in Gaelic football, that would suggest that Mike McGurn is talking the truth. And I know we have in Gaelic football, there's a huge percentage of players who require treatment and rehabilitation programs because they're returning from all sorts of injuries. So that would suggest that there is an overload. And it's a question of managing it and balancing it. And there is a danger now when we return, obviously, on Monday, next Monday, that teams will race into trying to, get as much as they possibly can into the four-week window. And that would suggest that we'll see a lot of soft tissue injuries in particular.
Right. Now, Shane, you're relatively recently retired as a player, and I know you're with the county minor team. What's your view on it? Is the view that Mike says that if they train 5 days, we'll be better if we train six?
Yeah, my view, Des, would be that I would agree wholeheartedly with what Mike said. And like John there, I thought it was a very interesting article, and he's able to back it up with all the experience he's had across the board with teams from the All Blacks to, even club teams there where his kids are involved. Currently with Armagh, I believe. So I just feel for me, Des, that there is too much training going on. And, it's very evident in the physique of players as well. For example, I was just doing a bit of reading, a bit of research for this, and I was going through the, like, I suppose every team, and I suppose the lads will agree, every team tries to maybe imitate or tries to do something like the best team is doing. So yeah. If I take from a hurling point of view, the best team now are Limerick. So a lot of teams are trying to get to that physique that the Limerick boys have. Now, Galway are very close to it, in my opinion, but a lot of other teams are a bit off them. So the average weight of the Limerick lads was around 87 kgs. Now, if you take rugby union players, so I was looking at the average weight of the rugby union players, the back players now, from the 2020 Six Nations last year, and the average weight of the rugby union lads who play in the backs was 93 kgs. So we're looking at inter-county players now, inter-county hurlers in particular, who are nearly the same physique or the same size as rugby players. Mm. And even if you take our hurler of the year this year, Geraint Hegarty, he's actually heavier than most guys playing in the backs in rugby at the moment.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it does work, you know, the Limerick lads can move and they can hurl and everything. But I mean, the long term, like, you know, lads are getting injuries, you know, they're in the gym so much that, you know, eventually their bodies have to break down. And I think what we're seeing now as a result of that is, and maybe the lads will agree or disagree, is you're seeing, first of all, a lot of players. I mean, the player playing 14, 15 seasons intercounty is gone nowadays. That's gone because of the training and because of the pressure it puts in the body. The other thing is, if you're 30 or 31, you're old now to be playing intercounty. You're classed as an old player. Mm. And, you know, it's just, I think there is too much training. And I also think, this is my own belief, is that we're losing out on a lot of skillful players because they mightn't have the physicality, they mightn't have the physique, or they mightn't have the interest to go training 6 times a week.
Yeah.
I mean, Premier League soccer players train 5 times a week. They have a day off and they'll have a rest day. And even one of those days that they train days is recovery session anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about the rugby players. Paula might know better, but like for a GA player, I think the crack has gone out of it. And I think if you're winning, okay, maybe fine. But I think because of all the training, because of everything that goes with it, you're putting your gear in your bag 6 times a week, I think the fun has gone out of it, and we're maybe losing out on some of the more skillful players because they're like, you know what, this isn't for me. And I think we're also seeing a lot of inter-county players, both male and female, kind of just maybe saying at 26, 27, you know what, I can't be doing this. Okay. We mightn't have a chance of winning that, and I'm going to go travel the world or something. So look, my overall response is I actually agree wholeheartedly with Mike's article. I think there is too much training going on inter-county terms anyway at the moment.
Okay, well, good points then. Again, 87 kg, just for those who don't follow it closely, is 13 and a half stone. Just somebody asks there, what is 87 kg? 13 and a half stone at the average weight. So Paula, obviously you deal in sports science and strength and conditioning all the time. Like, a manager to go into a county GA dressing room and say, lads, we're going to train less than everybody else, that'd take courage and guts, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it definitely would. Yeah, it's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, but if you speak to a lot of the top athletes, they recognise the importance of recovery as well. And I think there's definitely been a culture in the GA previously of, you know, building mental toughness and, you know, breaking people down and running laps, as we said earlier. I think the education and the information has really developed from then, though. I think, again, it obviously depends on the team and the personnel that they have involved. But a lot of people have sports science support in their backroom teams now. And I think it's less about the amount of training and more about what type of training is that, and is it smart training, and are you allowing adequate recovery from that training? And then also, are you fueling that training is a big indicator of injury or a big predictor of injury. So,
okay, can you know, I, there's a couple of points there, if I can just ask you about them individually. So yeah, it's how you manage the training. So there might be less in a session, but does that mean, to go back to Shane's point about more sessions, that while there's less in each session, there might be more sessions?
Yeah, and again, it depends what the content of those sessions are. So, you know, if you're doing a high intensity block of training, you've got to make sure that those training sessions are much shorter than anything where you're, you know, you might be doing more tactical sessions where there's not so much high intensity intermittent stuff. It's more kind of about understanding and game management and learning. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're doing more high intensity stuff, you've got to really recover from that.
Yeah.
If you don't, then like overload is necessary for us to adapt. So we need to stress the body. We need some element of stress so that we can adapt and recover and improve. But if we don't have that recovery there, then we won't get the adaptations from that. So if players are continuing to train, like you say, multiple sessions in a day, say, and then throughout a week, if they continue to do that over and over again, then you're going to have excessive muscle damage. You're going to end up maybe leading towards overtraining at that point. So, you know, that overtraining ends up in things like, you know, getting colds and flu, maybe niggly injuries.
Yeah.
It can cause sleep disruption, increase your resting heart rate, all of these kind of things. So the important thing for teams to do is to manage that, manage their load, first of all, and also manage their response to that load.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on things like resting heart rate and all these markers that we can measure.
And John, that's what you were talking about, and that you find it strange from the old days of the real hard slogging session of laps, etc. But in terms of these shorter sessions, etc., do you find now that players come back and they're much fitter than they were 30 years ago when they'd come back after a winter break?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, I'm picking up on what Shane said earlier about the crack and the fun. I mean, and compared to my day, when I did play a bit of intercounty football at Mayo, I mean, there was crack and fun. You would argue, you know, it was more enjoyable. This is a choice of pleasures, after all. This is your hobby. And I had a great conversation with an Offaly footballer last night who has been challenged with, you know, his work-life balance and all that kind of stuff. And he was struggling. And you know, the reality is this is meant to be fun. And if you're training 6-7 sessions, the fun is not there. And the other aspect, it's becoming very, very expensive for county boards. I know a dual county like Offaly is really, really struggling financially to keep everything going, because if you have collective training sessions, I think it's we're now permitted two training sessions on a challenge game or three sessions a week, which I think is a good thing. The Croke Park have insisted that's what every county will be catered for. So that means you're only allowed to pay expenses for those three sessions. And I think if the likes of Croke Park step in and say, this is the protocol, this is what's the template, this is what you're going to follow, I think that would certainly be an exercise worth doing, because the cost factor of this has gone through the roof. I think our chairman, Michael Dygden, mentioned to me it's costing about €10,000 a week in Offaly. I mean, they've no prospect of raising that kind of funds. So they're relying on, you know, donations, etc. That won't last forever. And I know that a lot of counties around the country are really struggling financially, and a lot of them are in serious debt. So that's just another aspect of it. But yeah, when lads come back now, they are. I see my own young fella who's 23 years of age. He was off training this morning, was in the gym last night. That's fine, he's not travelling. But when you introduce, say, maybe a 70 or 80 or 90 mile journey to training, that's exhausting. And Paula will testify to that as well. That's exhausting on the body. So let's limit it right across the country and have a bit of consistency in it. Yes, those counties are well resourced, and Limerick, I think, hurlers in particular, are one. They can afford maybe to have four or five collective sessions. The Dublins have an advantage in that regard because they don't have any travelling. But the likes of a country team, a rural county team, they will certainly struggle because of the travelling and all that kind of stuff. And that's a huge challenge.
Mayo's a good example of that indeed. But
Shane,
on that, you know the way sometimes a fella has been out for 4 months and he comes back and he's not fully fit. Maybe this applies more at top club level, and he plays fantastically well and people say, oh, well, he's fresh. I mean, that in itself almost suggests there's a contradiction with all the heavy training.
Yeah, I suppose. Like, I mean, I think freshness is key as well, especially for the bigger games. Like, and I don't know what it is. It's a very hard one, but I like the lads have made great points there. I think even if the sessions are shorter, and I suppose I can only speak for maybe the Tipperary lads in that the majority of Tipperary lads, bar the Thurles lads, like they could be, you could have, you said, like Bonner Maher, he might have an hour and 15 minutes drive just to get to training. Like, so whether the session is just a video session or anything, just getting yourself into that car and having to drive that and having to drive it home again, that's very, very hard going. And anybody who drives for a living will be a testament to that as well. So, like, for me, like,
well,
if everybody
change,
is doing
though,
it
Shane?
Do you and you're not doing it, Des,
and you fall behind, well, then you're the worst manager in the world, and I'm sure John will agree with that. But I just think it's gone to the stage now where, you know, you're training more than professional players. As I mentioned, the Premier League soccer players, I mean, they're training five times a week, but that's their job. Like,
yeah,
like all these inter-county players, both male and female, have jobs as well on top of these things. And I think that's what we're forgetting. Like, we forget that, you know, while the training and the hours they put in, similar to professional teams, but it's not their job. It's their hobby, as John said. Like, and
I'm just, aware.
You know,
of,
I think it's getting to the stage now where, like, how much more training can players possibly do now? Like, you know, you take it. Even when I started with TIFF, like in 05, 06, you know, it was the three sessions a week, and the gym session was kind of optional, really. And you know, like lads were, you know, maybe working more on the fundamentals of it, more the skills of the game, rather than worrying about what they're benching or what they're squatting like. And I think we are going away from that a bit. We are going to maybe how strong are you, maybe then rather than how skillful are you to try and make inter-county teams anyway. I think the club place is in a great place at the moment, Des, because I think there's the great fun there, and the majority of club lads only will have time, maybe because of family commitments and everything, to do the three pitch sessions with the club. And I think there is still the fun element in the club, but I just think the fun element is all gone, more or less, from the inter-county thing, because of the volume of training sessions. And,
all right, let me put that to Paula.
You know, I think we're seeing that more and more anyway with retirements days.
Okay, well, Paula, obviously you know the rugby scene very well. I'm aware of a Leinster, an Irish rugby player who had a stag a few years ago in Kilkenny, and all they had played that weekend, and they were out and, you know, out drinking in Kilkenny, and the Kilkenny fellas couldn't believe that they were drinking. You know, it's mid-season or whatever. And GA players, as you know, used to sign these, even signing documents that they wouldn't take a drink for a season. What do you make of that, looking at that from a distance?
Yeah, I think, like, it's designed, isn't it, to create that kind of mental toughness and resilience and everything. But in effect, it just ends up making people restrictive, and maybe, like Shane is saying, taking the fun out of it for them, really. I think, you know, you have to give players autonomy as well. You have to give them all the information and then trust that they'll make good decisions. And, you know, it's up to them to make decisions, as opposed to, you know, dictating to them what way they need to live their lives. Because after all, it is supposed to be fun. It is supposed to be, you know, it is amateur. It's supposed to be something that you do because you love it. So you don't want to take that away, because the happier players are, the better they'll play. So you don't want to take that element out of it. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean going to a stag every weekend.
No.
But yeah, I think as well, Shane was talking about travel there, which is huge. And you have men and women around the country that are not just playing for one team, but maybe playing for multiple teams. So they could be traveling to club training during the week. They could be traveling to inter-county training. And then looking at what is their job as well. So are there players that are spending, you know, maybe they're, you know, doctors, nurses, spending a lot of time on their feet, or whatever profession it is that they are. And you have to take that into account in terms of their load as well. So again, that goes back to individualising their strength and conditioning programme so that you can look at it individually for them.
It's John Mohan, do you think it's a case that maybe Dublin and Limerick have reached a level where they have that core fitness, for want of a better, there's probably a more professional description, and they don't need to be doing as much physical hard work, and other counties are having to do more to try and catch up with that?
Oh, you're absolutely right, Des. I mean, these boys are way ahead, and that's why I was a little bit bamboozled when the Dubs were out training there a couple of weeks ago. Above any team in the country, you would argue, well, the Dubs didn't need to, particularly having played an Ireland final in December. You say, what the hell are they back? But it just goes to give an indication of, you know, what's going on in their minds, and maybe we should be back in for seven in a row. But there's no doubt, there's no question about it, Des. Yeah, the Limericks are certainly ahead of the curve right now. You've actually physically seen their development. I mean, the strength and the power that those boys have, and I love hurling, but it certainly hasn't damaged their touch or anything. But, you know, the reality is, you know, an Offaly team is not going to lose a championship game because we're not strong enough or not fast enough. And I think it was Paul or Shane mentioned there about the fundamentals. I think it was Shane that mentioned the basic fundamentals of catching and executing the simple fundamentals of the game. And Mike McGurn alluded to that. It is all about coaching the kicking and a game-based scenario. And a lot of that is parked to one side. Like, I mean, we drive around the country in the middle of winter. I've often seen the most brilliantly decorated pitches with bollards all over the place, and you say, my God. And here is some, because we've got huge backroom teams now, and they've created a multiplicity of roles, all clamoring for their own little bit of attention. And so it's up to the manager to step in and address that and manage that whole scenario. Because, you know, if you have an SSE coach, like, I mean, that's all he wants to do is have the guys maybe powering up in the gym. And we saw an inter-county team in your own, and Provost up there a couple of years ago, go from small boys into very, very big boys over a couple of years. Now, they didn't necessarily win any game. Or they didn't certainly win an All-Ireland title. But, you can be super fit in the fittest team in the country, but at the end of the day, it's all about if you don't have the ball. Like, I mean, the Kerry team back in the day came up against some outstanding fit teams, but they just had the class and the ability, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
All right, well, it's a fascinating, it's interesting. Everyone seems to, it seems to be a groundswell of opinion, but certainly the view of John Mohan, Shane McGrath, Paula Fitzpatrick, it's fascinating to hear it. I wonder, will we see a change and maybe less heavy training for inter-county teams? Lovely talking with the three of you. Thanks a million for joining us here on Saturday Sport.